Good evening. I'm very thankful to be back here at home. It seems like the last couple of months have been an awful lot of traveling involved. I've written on the board, Bread of Life. I'd like to maybe start off with a question of, have you ever just kind of felt blah or kind of just dead? Kind of you get up for work and don't really feel inspired. Don't really feel inspired to not only maybe be the best Christian you can be, but also maybe not feel just super inspired to even go to work. Maybe you get to work and you really don't. Someone says good morning, you kind of, meh. And it's, you kind of look and it's just kind of, it's not really, you're not full of life, I guess you would say. Maybe things don't look just real rosy. You just kind of feel dead. And you really don't want anybody else to be happy to you. You don't want to be happy. You kind of just want to just kind of be a grump and be. And I think y'all kind of know what I'm talking about. There's some days that you don't actually want anybody to be cheerful with you because you just kind of feel like being grumpy. You kind of feel like, I don't have much to offer. I don't have really anything for myself. And I don't really have anything to offer you, so don't ask me anything. Maybe I'm the only one who's felt that way, but I don't think I am. I see a few smiles and I think that's kind of a common, relatively common attitude that we can have as humans. It's just kind of feel a little blah or dead. So I want to read a scripture to kind of start this off. The Lord is, this is one of those messages that I'll say the Lord has been working with me. And then he let me know that he'd like for me to share the things that he's been working with me on. So I'm not going to stand here and say that I've got this this figured out. I'm just sharing at this moment of where I am and understanding this and learning this. I am sharing this with you now of what I have learned so far. So if take that and do with it what you may. I want to start in John 6. There's this whole chapter, or this whole conversation with that Jesus is having, is talking about, I don't want to read the whole passage for sake of time, but it starts off with asking about bread, needing to feed some folks. And I think this is the chapter, if you look up, I think at the beginning I was talking about the feeding the 5,000. And there were some folks that kind of were following Jesus along because they had seen that miracle. And Jesus kind of reproved them for it, said, hey, you're following me because you saw what I did back there. You're following me because you see that I took this little basket and now we fed 5,000 people, or at least maybe this is where it says 5,000 men. But he fed thousands of people out of one little basket and had 12 baskets left over. And so people saw that. And I would have to say that if I was one of those folks who saw that and didn't know who Jesus was, I'd probably say, that was pretty neat. I want to follow this guy and see what else happens. Because if he can feed that many people out of that little basket, I want to see more of what this guy's got. But a lot of them had the wrong idea. And Jesus reproved them for it. He said, you follow me. Not because you want to know more about me, but you just saw the trick I did. It was a miracle. It wasn't a trick. But to them, they didn't know. There's people who were trying to figure out, what did I just see? I don't know if they had sleight of hand magicians back then or not. But, you know, they saw this thing happen, and it picked their curiosity. And Jesus was telling them, like, you're following me because you ate of what I gave you, and you're physically full. And so now you're following me around to see what else I'll do, whatever things I can do for you physically. And he says, labor not for the meat. This is in 27th verse. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he's right at that very conversation there. He's cutting them off, saying, "Hey, don't. What I did, that was a sign. Yes, it shows." It showed that Jesus, who he was, it showed that he had power over everything. He had power over the laws of nature. You can't, that was one of the first things you learn in engineering school, and probably, I guess, in high school too. Nothing, you can't create something from nothing. You can't create something out of nothing, and yet Jesus was able to create a whole bunch of food from basically, you know, a very small amount. So he said, yes, you saw me do all that. But what you're actually looking for is the meat that doesn't perish, the meat that's everlasting. And this ties right into, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. I think it was a couple of Sundays ago or a Wednesday night, it was brought up that verse about why are you buying things that aren't bread? Why are you spending your resources on things that only are going to satisfy for just the moment? Yes, the things that we can spend our time on in our days, they can temporarily satisfy. You can temporarily get a little dopamine hit and feel satisfied for a little bit, feel physically happy for a little bit, but that's not permanent. You know, there's so many things that people do to fill their time, but that's not meat that has everlasting life. It's meat that perisheth. So, what I really want to get into is later in that passage, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I'd like to skip forward a little bit more. There's a lot of good in this chapter, so I recommend maybe sitting down and chewing through this chapter quite a bit, because that's what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Verse 53. This is the one that got my attention and got me really thinking about what am I doing with my life and with my time with the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or listen up, this is true. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So, I was starting this off by asking a question. You ever sometimes feel kind of just blah, kind of dead inside? And that's kind of a normal, natural, I guess you'd say, human way of dealing with maybe hard things, or maybe you just didn't sleep well the night before. But there's more to it. Have you ever had a season of life where maybe there is some really tough things going on and you felt dead? Or maybe there are some, conversely, on top of that, there's some tough things going on, and in the middle of that, you made the choice to, I'm not going to say blame God, but maybe not spend the time with him that we should have been. And what happens is, it's kind of like what I was talking about, you go to work on a Monday or a Tuesday, and you just really don't want anybody to be happy. Have you ever been to that place spiritually and kind of in a long season, maybe a period of time where you're going through some tough stuff, and you really don't want God to comfort you either? I know that sounds very strange, and it can sound very almost like an oxymoron, but think about it, because I think I've been there, of where I was in such a bad place that I didn't even want to be comforted. Yes, deep down, that's what I wanted. But I had allowed the things that just weren't feeding me, I had fed on the bitterness, I had fed on unforgiveness, I had fed on things that just kind of built up and built up and built up to the point that I was full of those things that are dead. And when you're full of those things, I didn't even really want, kind of like when you don't want your coworkers to be happy and someone comes whistling to your office and you kind of just like, please stop whistling. We can almost get to the same point where when God comes in wanting to, I've got something for you, we can almost say, no, I don't want that right now. I'm still sad. I'm still sad. This bad thing is still happening. So I don't want your bread of life right now. I still need to wallow in my sadness. I still need to wallow in my grief and my bitterness and my hurt feelings and my all these things that I'm wanting to feed on right now, because that's what I see in front of me. I see the bad situation. I see the loved one who's going through something really difficult, or you name the situation. And we can, I feel that we can get in a place where we feed on those things that are not bread. We take those things in and they start rotting us from the inside. You start taking in bitterness and it will rot you from the inside. You start taking in unforgiveness and feeding that and continuing to bring in more and more unforgiveness, that will rot you from the inside. And it will, well, like that verse says, you will have no life in you. And then you will almost get to the point where I don't even want to accept the bread and the water of life from the very one who can provide it to me. I can almost say, stop whistling. I don't want to hear that. Stop being so happy. Don't comfort me right now. I'm sad. And that sounds really strange, but have we not done that literally? And maybe I'm the only one, but I have done that where I don't want you to sing. I don't want you to be. And we can do that with God. And we can reject the very bread. He said, I've got bread for you. I am the bread of life. And then he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, which he just said, I am the bread of life. So by eating the flesh of the Son of Man, that means he's talking about the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Consume me. And then he said, drink of his blood. And later on in the scriptures, I think it's in 1 Corinthians maybe, where he's talking about, I think it's Paul saying, he's equating the water that came out of the rock with the Israelites, as Jesus is the rock and he's the source of water. And he's equating that to Jesus, is that the Israelites also drank of the water of life, which came from the rock, which the rock was Jesus. Then it was a literal rock, but now we have the spiritual rock of Jesus, that water flows out from him, and we can partake of that. We are to partake of that daily. And so in my mind, this is how my brain works. I like to connect dots. So we call this book that we have, we call it the written word of God. And I believe it is. I believe wholeheartedly that this is the written word of God. Yes, God still speaks through us, through our spirits and through our heart. He speaks to us still. So there's still a spoken word of God to us. But this is the preserved word of God for us. And when I read the very first chapter in John, it says that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then I think it's later on, it's talking about, there's some other things was bringing out. Well, I think it's later in that chapter. All things were made by Him. Well, I'll just leave it at that. The Word was God. Well, and then Jesus, I thought it says somewhere in here that Jesus is the Word, but so we got the written Word of God. The Word was with God. The Word is God. Jesus is the Word of God. So one way that I can consume the bread of life, that I can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. That was one of the questions when I read that. I read that and said, Lord, I was, part of the reason why this struck me so hard is because I was feeling a little dead in the last couple of weeks. You just kind of feeling a little blah spiritually. And I read that and I said, Lord, how can I still eat of your flesh? How can I still eat of your body? Because, you know, I read this and, you know, I've read that I don't know how many times, and it's so easy to read these words and take this for granted of what it is. It's so easy to read that, and that's just a book of stories. We can look at it and say that's a book of stories, and even though we know in our heart that it's truth, that it's real, and that this really happened, but I've been exposed to it my whole life. And you can, when you've been exposed to something so much, you can become complacent about it, become, so used to it that it's just commonplace. This is not commonplace. This isn't just a common book. This is the written, preserved Word of God for us to partake of, and to spend time in. And there's more ways that we can partake of the body of Jesus. There's more ways, but this is one that I was thinking through. It's okay, Lord. So Jesus is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning. I've been provided this book by God's grace. I am freely able to go purchase. I have multiple Bibles in my home. I'm able to go, if I wanted to tonight, I could run into the store. And I have the means, I could go buy several more if I wanted to. I have that privilege. I have several different apps on my phone, on my tablets, and on my computer that I access to study and read the Word of God. I'm so privileged, but it's so easy for me to take these words and take them for granted for what they can do for me. These scriptures have been provided for us to feed us, to give us instruction. And I'm just going to say from my experience that in my personal walk with the Lord that I have not utilized this to its full potential for my life. I haven't, and I know we'll never get to the bottom. I don't think we'll ever read through this and say, well, I have figured out every single detail of this. You just ask me a question and I've got an answer for it. You ask me anything, I can tell you everything about Revelations. I can tell you everything about Leviticus. I can explain every detail. I've got it figured out. I don't think there's ever been a person, or ever will be, who can say, before they pass away, saying, well, ain't no need for me to read this anymore. I got it figured out. I know everything about what there is to know about the Lord. That's not going to happen. There's something new in here. And if I apply myself to when I sit down to read this, and I'm just going to be just very honest with you, I have struggled in the past to sit down and read this and have any kind of, it can become a bunch of red and black words on the page, and then you read a little while and you think, oh, okay, well, I'm losing my focus, so let me read. Okay, let's see, I'm going to read a little more. All right, got through a chapter. Well, what did I really, did I just check a box, or did I just feed myself? I'm going to say a lot of times I have checked a box. I have flipped through the scriptures and found a chapter and I just read it. Then I go, all right, I'm going to work. Say a quick prayer, get on the road, start my day. But I didn't have the attitude of going to the scriptures. Like I said, I'm still working on this. I'm still figuring this one out. Going to the scriptures and saying, Lord, I'm fixing to open this and I ask you to feed me. Yes, this is God's word, but if we don't read it with the Spirit, it's been mentioned before, if we don't come to service with a spirit of service to the Lord, of worship to the Lord, we don't come to the to service with an attitude of wanting to hear from Him honestly, we won't get anything out of it. The same thing will happen when we sit down to read the Word of God. If we don't come to Him in spirit, that's what in John 3:16 it says, I think it's John 3:16 or John 3, where it says, God is a spirit. You have to worship Him in spirit. I can't come to Him and just say, and just come sit down in my chair and just start flipping through and, all right, I'm going to be blessed now because I just read the Bible. I have to come with the attitude of, I want to feed in whatever you give me, Lord, if it's broccoli or if it's sweet potato casserole. I want it, whatever it is. Because what we can, you can make the Word of God say whatever you want if you go cherry pick the verses correctly. I can go cherry pick and pull a phrase here and a phrase there, and I can go pull something over here, and you can make it say almost anything that you want it to say. But is that the attitude that we're supposed to open the Word of God with? I can go through here and justify lots of things with out of context sentences and scriptures without the attitude, if I don't have the right attitude of digging into these scriptures. Because without a true desire for God to feed me, we can lose the whole benefit of having the Word of God, the bread of, part of the bread of life, right here in front of me. I have it available, and if my attitude is, I want this today, so I'm going to go to Psalm this. Look, there's nothing wrong with reading an encouraging psalm. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with going and reading something when you need encouragement. But let's be careful that we don't stay away from a certain set of scriptures because we don't like how they word things, because it kind of chastises what I'm doing. But instead, I want to scoot that to this side of my plate, and I'm only going to eat my sweet potato casserole and the apple pie because that sounds good. We hear that all the time. If you go listen to different things, you'll hear people talking about, oh, if you give me this, then the Lord is going to bless you tenfold. Well, that's what sounds good to our ears. If I can do these things, then I'm going to be blessed. Well, there's not just this magic formula that if you say these words and read this certain verse and then you say these certain words, that it's just everything's going to open up to you and this just everything's going to be butterflies and sunshine. Then that's not how it works. It takes an attitude of saying, God, I don't know what to do. I know I'm hungry. I know I'm thirsty. And I don't have anything of myself, Lord. And sometimes it doesn't mean I've been fed from the Lord without having a Bible in front of me or any of it's, and that's when God's spoken word comes into place, that He can still speak to our hearts and say and comfort us and be there for us. But we have to come with a spirit of saying, Lord, I'm hungry. I need something from You. And being able to take whatever it is that He serves us. And I guess that's one of the things that the Lord has had to chastise me on a little bit, is I have done that some, is, you know, saying, well, Lord, I'm going to read this scripture today. And you read it, and it's kind of like chewing on a piece of cardboard at that point, because, yes, I know it's true, but I tried to manufacture that by saying, I'm going to go read this first because I need God to do this for me. Does that make sense? I cherry pick sometimes. I try to force God to say what I want Him to say by, I hope I'm getting this out the way it's coming in my, it's in my mind. This is how I've done in the past. I know what I want God to say to me. I know what I want Him to, His answer to be. So then I listen to the songs that say the things I want Him to say to me. I read the verses that say the things I want Him to say to me. I try to force that to happen. But what's happening is I'm trying to manufacture my bread of life. I'm trying to manufacture my my water that I want to drink, and I can't do it. It never satisfies, because then at that point, it's becoming something that I created, and it does not satisfy. God is the one who makes this alive. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God, that's what makes this alive. Otherwise, it is just black and white and red letters on a page. If there's not something in here that's yearning to understand and saying, God, I am, well, like the publican who just smote his breast, said, be merciful to me. Speak to me, Lord. I'm nothing. I need you. If we don't come to him with a spirit of saying, God, I want to hear from you, but we come to it instead with a predetermined agenda, it's going to be empty if we come to this with a predetermined agenda without that. Now, God can break through those things, and he can get our attention. Thank the Lord he has for me. He has got my attention and broke through whenever maybe I am trying to force something, forcing him to say something. And he does sometimes get our attention that way. But let's be careful that when we spend time with the Lord, that it's truly to draw closer to him. That's not just becoming a habit, that it's, I'm truly coming to his table because, Lord, whatever serving of the bread of life that you have for me today, I'd like to have that. If that serving of the bread of life today is more patience, if it's whatever it may be, if it's getting cut off four or five times in traffic today for me to exercise some of the scriptures that I've been reading, then Lord, I want that bread of life. I want that helping of water. And maybe that's not what we naturally would want at the time. But he is faithful because this his desire is 2 Peter 1 and 4. I think this is the scripture I'm thinking of. Yes, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then there's another scripture that I'd like to read to tie that in together. God's desire is for us to be one with him, and by partaking fully of him, by honestly coming to him and say, Lord, I want to be a part of you. Hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to John 6. I'm sorry. It says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. His number one desire is for me to fully partake of him. And by partaking of him, the very first thing we have to do is accept what he did for me. Accept that he died on the cross. He came, lived among men, real people. This isn't just a storybook. He came and lived real life among real people. He felt real pain. He felt real emotions. He came and was born in a very, from the world's eyes, a very bad situation. Wasn't honorable from their eyes. They didn't know the whole story. He was looked on as being a product of a very bad situation. I'm sure he dealt with that as a child, of people becoming aware of who he was and making fun of him and saying things that were hurtful. He grew up that way. He turned into a young man and began his ministry, walked through life as a man, chose to do that as a man, left his Godship behind on his own volition, and then took on our feelings and what we deal with. And part of me partaking of him is believing all of that. Believing that he was and is the Son of God. He came down, walked on this earth, died a cruel death that he could have prevented if he wanted to. He could have said, I'm not doing this, and gone up to heaven and been done with it. If I don't believe that, I'm not partaking of him. I have to believe that he died on the cross. He hung there for my sins. He could have got off at any point that he wanted to, but he didn't. He died and he felt the pain as if it was you or I that was nailed to that cross. He felt the pain as a man. He chose to feel it as a man. He chose to feel the nails that from the men that he created and loved, he chose to feel that pain. He chose to feel the pain as they drove the nails into his hands and to his feet. He chose to feel the pain as they stood the cross up and dropped it in the hole. He chose to feel that pain as a man, not as God, but as a man, and feel that. And he chose to hang there until he died. He didn't say, all right, that's it. Come get me off this cross. He chose to stay there until he yielded up his spirit, and it was hours that he was there. He chose to save someone that was hanging on the cross beside him at the last moment. He chose to go to the grave and lay there, his dead body, for 3 days. On the third day, he chose to rise again. And that's, if I believe that, if I can fully partake of that, say, Lord, I believe that happened. I believe you did that for me. That is also the first part of having partaking of him. We have to do that to be able to partake of him, because that is, I'm partaking of his body, of his sacrifice to me. I have to partake of that. And then we can continue to partake by saying, I'm going to continue to believe that. I'm going to continue to seek you and learn more about you and eat more of your flesh, which is the bread of life, and drink his blood, and then I dwell in him, and then I will dwell in you. If you partake of me, I will dwell in you. So then John 17 is Jesus praying for each one of us. I think it's John 17. Yes. This is where John recorded the prayer that Jesus prayed for all believers, which includes us. That Jesus prayed for each one of us. And I choose to believe that he knew who I was then. Even though I didn't exist yet, he knew, he knows me, and he prayed this for me, and he prayed it for you. John 17 and 21. Actually, let's go to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, partake of me, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That is his desire, is that I partake of him so that I can be, he can be in me, I can be in him as he is in the Father, and then we can all be one in the Father. That is his desire, that we partake of the bread that he has available to each one of us. And it's a daily, we have to daily partake of it, or we will are at risk of, like Jesus said in John 6, so he said, if you don't take part of it, you have no life. You become dead. There is no life in you. But what his desire is that I partake of him so he can be in me, I can be in him, as Christ is of the Father, and we all be one in the Father. That's his desire. And Jesus prayed that for each one of us. That was his desire. And that was right before he went to the cross. He knew it was fixing to happen. And he was praying for me and you that we would be able to partake of his body and be one with him. And that's why he went through with what I just described, laying down on that cross and allowing the ones that he created for him to be nailed down to a cross from a tree that he created with iron nails that he gave men the ability to create and allowed them to nail him to that cross. And he did that for me and you, and he prayed that prayer so that one day, once he went through with the plan, there would be bread of life for us to eat, that we could spend eternity with him. And before that, that we can also dwell in the Father, and we can all be one in the Father. Y'all pray for me.